hallelujah. And let's praise the Lord again. Would you do that? Thank you, Heavenly Father. God, we love you. We have a young man with us that just returned from Afghanistan yesterday. Wally, would you stand? We want to give you a great big hand for serving our country. Give him a big hand. Thank you so much. Wally, are you in the Army, the Air Force, or the Marines, or what?
Army.
Army, okay. All right. That's even better, I think. So, Brother Thomas, Brother Kraeski, we're from the Marines. I checked on it, and I found out the Marines, it's a branch of the Boy Scouts. So. They don't like to hear stuff like that. Not a Marine, you know. Praise God. I'd like for you to stand. Brother Thomas, you know I'm just joking. I like to pull things on him because he's always pulling things on everybody else. So. He's a great sport. We have a special prayer request, Sister Kathy Wiest. I think she had to leave. She found out that her godfather or an uncle is passing away. So if you pray for Kathy right now, would you do that and pray for the family and also for this uncle of hers? God, we're asking, Lord Jesus, that you come down and touch this uncle. I don't know what the situation is. I have no idea, Lord Jesus, what his sickness is. But I know that you're the healer of all manner of sicknesses and diseases. And I pray right now, Lord, wrap your loving arms around him. May he feel your Holy Spirit surge through his body. I pray also, Lord Jesus, for a healing for him. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you touch Sister Kathy Weiss and touch the family, Lord Jesus, in this very trying moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Turn to 1 Kings, the second chapter. And this morning, I will bring you part one of the message. Tonight, part two. And the title of this is 10 Steps to Becoming a Better Dad. You have to keep in mind that there are volumes of books that are written, especially within the last 30 years, about parenting, about being better dads, better moms, better parents. So this will just be a brief edition, and probably whenever I finish with this, you can probably think of a dozen other points that should have been included. But it takes us longer than Father's Day last in order to go over all the things and that would help. And please keep in mind, as I go through this, that some of you who sit by your husband or by your dad, you will probably say, I sure wish my dad would have, or I wish my dad would do, or I wish my dad would be a little bit more sensitive in this area. But there's only one perfect father. And that is Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. So you don't have to be a perfect dad to be a good dad. But all good dads will want to be better dads. Right now, I'm a great grandfather. And I pray regularly I can be a better father, better grandfather, and a better great-grandfather. So we take the words of David as he's passing away, giving the charge to his son Solomon. And this is what he says. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Do you know God wants you to prosper? He wants to do good things for you. But you tie his hands when you violate Scripture. But God will do anything to see you blessed. That is, if you don't violate Scripture. But if you're living in violation of Scripture or Christian principles, then you're not going to be blessed the way God wants you to be blessed. So when David says, be strong and show thyself a man, he clarified it by saying, here's how you do it. You keep the charge of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways and in his statutes and in his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. So he lumps it all together and just says, you need to do right, live right, and you'll be blessed. God bless you. May be seated. January of 1986, I was on my way to Houston, Texas, to visit my dad, who was dying with cancer. I called his room when I was in Kansas City. I called his room, and someone else answered the phone. And I asked him, I said, isn't this room whatever the number was? And they said, yes. And I said, well, I was looking for Emory Grant. And the lady says, well, my husband's in this room. I said, how long has she been in this room? I said, oh, how long has he been in this room? She said, oh, just a couple of hours. And this was before cell phones, you know. I got this real sick feeling inside. My dad was taken out of this room. And I was just, you know, I was just so filled with mixed emotions. So I quick called my mom's house. She'd been down in Houston, and my sisters had been there. And so I got my sister, Marilyn, I think it was, and my youngest sister. And I said, I called down Houston, and Dad's not in the room. And she said, well, he passed away. We had no way of getting a hold of you. I'd been traveling for several hours. I was his only son. And he died just short of his 70th birthday. Brother Irv Manley and my dad shared a common date of March 30th. Brother Irv Manley was born in 1914. My dad was born in 1916, so Brother Manley was 2 years older than my dad. I was his only son. He came up to Wisconsin about every other year, and he loved to fish, and, of course, a lot of water in Wisconsin, so I went fishing with him. He wanted to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go fishing and be out there when daybreak came. And I wasn't so interested in doing that, but he'd fish until almost dark. And that's all he wanted to do, just like to fish, because he was retired. And he had cancer and was in a lot of pain. And so I'd go with him. Several times we caught so many fish, and I didn't even put a mental on my my hook. I just threw it out there and let it set. He was pulling in fish because I knew when we got the house, we got to clean these fish. And the thing about it is we just had the whole freezer full of fish. He just loved the fish. And when I was at home, he worked the night shift, and he'd come in 4 o'clock in the morning, wake me up and said, "Son, let's go fishing." "Well, Dad, it's so early." I said, "You know, you got to be out there by daybreak." And he'd fish all day long, even when they weren't biting. But a couple of times he pulled my pole in. He says, "Look," said, "the fish has already taken your minnow." And he said, "You're going to have to watch it a little closer." I didn't tell him I didn't have one on to start with. You know, if you could just go back and capture some of that and relive it. And one thing about my dad, though, he was 100% male. Yet he loved God. And sometimes men, especially young men, they think that if you want to be a real man that you can't be a Christian. I know for myself, before my dad gave his heart to the Lord, I thought that church was for older ladies and little kids. In fact, I made that statement a couple of times. But I do think that my dad, once he got into church, really taught me how to worship God, serve God, and yet at the same time, be a man. Passed away a little better than 25 years ago, short of his 70th birthday. I really never thought that time would pass this fast. In fact, I am now almost 1 year older than my dad was when he passed away. You know, I go to the little cemetery where he's buried in East Texas, along with my mom now. You know, it's just a bittersweet experience. You go there and your heart's so full of gratitude and love for the things that they taught you. You wish that somehow you could just pull up a chair and sit down and talk with them. Well, that day's coming though. So that day's coming. So today what I want to do is just talk about the 10 steps to becoming a better dad. You know, and I look at all these and I think of my dad and things that I know he could have improved on. And then I look at myself and I think, I better stop thinking about individuals. We just go by what is right. Sister Grant spoke of being a good example, and certainly we're all trying to be a good example. But we do fail, don't we? And you'll probably be able to identify with some of these in which you say, "I sure have failed here." But the important thing is that you keep on trying, that you never give up. So we're going to cover 4 or 5 of these, and tonight we'll cover the rest of them. The first thing that I have in the 10 steps to becoming a better dad is you want to make sure that you are a person that fears God. God is our top priority. I teach 3 priorities of a Christian: God, the family of God, and the work of God. This entails all of your life. Psalm 111:10 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever." If you look up the phrase, "the fear of the Lord," there's about 10 times in the book of Psalms that it appears. It doesn't all not all these talk about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to gain understanding. The fear of the Lord is to gain strength. This is something that we as Americans, we have failed. We have not taught our children to fear the Lord. We have not taught them to fear the Lord. And when we talk about fear, now we're talking about not being afraid of God from the standpoint of, like we're afraid of maybe fire or wind or something, but we're talking about a healthy reverential fear in which you respect God. I got to tell you this, though, that if, you know, I read all the time about people that forge names on checks and people that go into banks and there's places that it would scare me to death to do something like that. And not that I'd be so afraid of getting caught, but I'd be afraid God would just strike me down. You know, just, I was raised that way. I was raised to serve God. I was taught as a child to respect my parents. I think if you want your sons to fear the Lord, you need to teach them to respect you, to respect their mom, to respect their brothers and sisters, and to respect their fellow man. I think it starts that way. Because certainly if you have no respect for other people that are tangible, that you, when it comes to God, the intangible, you're not going to fear Him. You're not going to respect Him. It all starts in the home. This is the reason why that I think that it's necessary to have good manners. I hear a lot of young people talking very loosely in such a disrespectful way about other people, other things. I just really, you know, there was a prophet sent from God to Israel, and his primary responsibility was to teach men how to fear the Lord. Now, how do you do that? This I have found in every home where that I've had anything to do with, where there was discipline in the home, the children ended up serving God and having a healthy respect for their fellow man. And where there's no discipline in the home, they don't fear God. They just simply do not fear God. Now, of course, if you're going to fear the Lord, you're going to lead them to prayer. You're going to take them to church. You're going to train them in the ways of the Lord. And this is how you become a spiritual leader. And fathers should be the spiritual leader of the household. They should be the spiritual leaders of their household. And the reason why that sometimes they're not, the wife has to assume or the mother has to assume that responsibility because the man simply won't. And if in the event that your wife or the mother of your children becomes the spiritual leader of the household, then don't become jealous. Don't become envious when she takes over. Because she doesn't have much of a choice. In other words, the house needs a spiritual leader. But the order that God has is that the man is the spiritual leader of the house. See, in the Bible, there's a chain of command. Now, please understand, when I give this, I didn't write the Bible, okay? I just preach it as it is. But the man and his wife, and then there's children, and over that household are spiritual leaders. Now, it is really a perfect system. The problem is that it is, the positions are occupied by imperfect people. People just like you and just like me. But God doesn't have a better way. So, the first thing, I believe, it starts with a healthy respect for God. The next thing is that if you want to be a better father, you must love the body of Christ. He loves the body of Christ. In 1 Peter 2:17, Peter talks about the body of Christ. He said, honor all men, love the brotherhood. The word brotherhood is actually talking about the church or the body of Christ. Fear God, honor the king. He puts a lot of different things in there, but when we talk about the body of Christ consists of your wife, the mother of your children, all of your brothers and sisters, spiritual leaders in the church, national leaders in the church, missionaries abroad. Just talking about the body of Christ. That's our second priority. God is number one in our life. Number two is the family of God. And the thing about it is, when it comes to the body of Christ or the brotherhood, you know, we as men, we need to respect each other. Sister Grant has been in the clinic with having physicals done quite a bit lately, and of course I've had my share of that. And sometimes because of the different doctors that treat you, you'll get a little bit of a conflict in the advice. And this we found out, if you say, but Dr. So-and-so said, this is what I need to do. I'm amazed at how much wisdom and discretion that these doctors have when they find out that some other doctor gave advice contrary to what he's now giving or she's now giving. In other words, they have a code of ethics. If you're in professional business and you're always running down somebody else, trust me, it has a way of coming home to you. And this is the reason why that I just cringe when I hear a preacher talking about some other preacher by name. Now, we may mention preachers in general, but you know, we have to bind together. That doesn't mean we agree on everything, but we have to be very discreet as to how we disagree. And brothers of like precious faith in the church, same is true, and also the same is true of the women in the church. We must love the brotherhood, love the body of Christ. And men, how they treat their wives with respect. Wives, treat your husbands with respect. Isn't that the way it should be? I know I've heard men sometimes make statements like, well, I know where I'm going to have to sleep tonight. Talking about the sofa because he had a little disagreement with his wife. Then I've heard also wives tell their husbands, now, you be careful, you know where you'll have to sleep tonight. Well, I told Sister Grant a long time ago, if anybody sleeps on the sofa, it's going to be you. I'm going to sleep in the bed. You may be upset at me and you may be mad at me and I may be upset at you, but we're going to bed together. If anybody leaves the bed, it's not going to be me. I have slept on the sofa before, though, but not because of disagreements, because of just wanting to spend a lot of time in prayer and not wanting to disturb her. But we need to respect each other as parents. We need to be loyal to your leaders. Set a goal to be an example. You can't sit down at a table and run down everybody in the church, then expect your children to grow up and want to be one of the body of Christ. This doesn't work. The third thing that you need, you need to become involved in the work of the Lord. Engages in the work of the Lord. That's our third priority. God, the family of God, and the work of God. Engaging in the work of the Lord is so very important. I've found that so many people that have abilities are not responsible. You've heard me make the statement the way I choose leaders. The way I choose leaders, number one, that person must be responsible. Number two, must be loyal. Number three, must be truthful. And number four, must be competent or must have the ability. You notice three of these are character traits. Because so often the person that plays the piano the best is not the best team player. And so often the teacher that can teach the best is not a team player. And so often the person that can sing the best is not responsible enough to get to church on time to sing. And we have a lot of people in this church that have great voices. Now, that doesn't mean that they're irresponsible, but we do have some that have great voices, but they just can't make it. They can't make it to choir practice and such because it takes discipline. You know? I had a gentleman one time that even transferred to another church, and he came on to know if I'd put him on the singing schedule at our church. I said, well, you didn't sing much while you were here. He said, but I couldn't make it to the, I couldn't make it to rehearsals and such. I said, well, you expect me to put you on the singing schedule and you show up just to sing and not come back until you're on the schedule again? I said, we don't have a schedule for visitors. So you need to be a hard worker, a responsible worker. And while I'm talking about a man, I'm not talking about Macho John, and we have other people named John other than me, but I was talking about myself. Not a bully. The Bible speaks of a minister, not a brawler. In other words, he must have integrity. He's honest. His word is always valid. Whatever he says, that's the way it is. He is engaged in ministry because the work of the Lord must go forth and people must be saved before Jesus Christ comes back. If you're not engaged in ministry, you need to be engaged in ministry. The fourth thing is he practices moral purity. I say he practices moral purity. Some men, around other men, they like to tell jokes that have a bad connotation. I just don't see why a Christian man would want to tell a joke that's a little bit off color. And then if somebody says, what are you doing telling that? He said, oh, you got your mind in the gutter. Well, you had your mind in the gutter. That's the reason why you told it. The man should not be flirtatious. I mean, when you're married, you're married. You've got to settle all those issues. Keep thyself only unto her so long as you both shall live. I do. For better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. I do. Promises to be faithful to his wife. How do you think it makes mom feel, your children's mother, your wife feel, when she knows that you're flirting around with somebody? Stay off the internet and all of the bad sites and such. See, if we do not continue to have strong men, we will not have strong families. If we don't have strong families, we won't have a strong church. So you got to make up your mind once and for all that you're married, that you're a father, and you must remain morally pure. Temptations may come. And probably will. Loyalty, for the most part, can only be proven in adversity. But trust me, somebody's going to come along with the intent of getting your attention. Are you going to allow that? Practices moral purity. Now the fifth one, he must be strong in holiness. Sometimes we think that the ladies are the ones that set the example of holiness. No, it should be the man. And when we say holiness, we're not just talking about how you dress. But you need to keep yourselves free from bitterness and envy, greed and jealousy that causes bad attitudes. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And we live in a day in which people don't like holiness, I can tell you. They like the Holy Bible. They like the Holy Ghost. They want to go to the Holy City, but they don't like holiness. You figure that one out. But that's the day we live in. So we need to practice keeping the right attitude, keeping our hearts clean, our thoughts right. Now, we could say that this does include modesty in the way we dress. You know, we are noted as holiness people. Our ladies always look so nice and so modest. Sometimes the men come around trying to look macho with hairy legs sticking out of shorts, you know. I've had people say, what's wrong with that, Brother Grant? Well, what would you think if I drove up here and got out of my vehicle with a pair of shorts on and came in the church? What would you think? You'd think, boy, it's time we get another pastor. And while the mother is all, we got a lot of ladies that go to the ladies' retreat, and I'll tell you, these ladies are tough on each other. I've been to some of those ladies' retreat when I was superintendent. They get tough on each other. They really do. And they come back, they're determined they're going to pray more, and they're going to fast more, and they're going to worship more, and they're going to be a better mother. And I mean, they get with the program. Sometimes it's hard to get a group of men together just to teach them some of these things, because they're too interested in other things. Needless to say, you know, you are the spiritual leader. And I think it needs to be the father working, of course, with the wife. If you've got daughters that want to wear dresses that are too short, too tight, as a father, you should not allow that. Seriously, girls that wear these skin-tight skirts so tight you can see their nerves. I had a brother one time arguing with me about it, the way his daughter looked, and I said, "Now, wait a minute." I said, you know, we believe in modesty, and that goes for the both the men and the women. And I said, you're defending the way your daughter's dressed, and I said, you can do anything you want to, and certainly we have people of all levels of spiritual walk, but you need to help her because she's wearing those jeans so tight. He said, well, I don't particularly see anything wrong with it. And I said, well, let me ask you this. What if she came in without any clothes on at all? He says, oh, Brother Grant, don't even think like that. And I said, well, let me help you as a father. Now, we got young men running around here. And if you painted your daughter's jeans the color of her skin, that's exactly the way she'd look if she was naked. Am I getting too plain here? And then you wonder why guys are always hanging around your daughter. Sometimes a whole bunch of guys. You know? And this goes for the guys too. All this hip hop stuff and those baggy pants. Honestly, you know, I've seen them. I've seen them here in church. We have a lot of people in and out. These guys wearing their jeans down below their buttocks and their shorts sticking out. Now, this is all associated with the hip-hop culture. When I go by the way of the grave, be thy strong son, and prove thyself to be a man. You know, a man has to find his identity. Got to know who he is and what he is and move on. I go get a haircut. They always ask me, well, how do we cut it today? And I said, the same way you've been cutting it for 20 years. First place, I don't have enough hair to fool around with. You know. I'm not against guys cutting their hair short or having a different hairdo or anything. But you know, there's some people that are always, you know, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta act this way, because they cannot find themselves. Where are my pants baggy? Where am I low? Next time, wear a muscle shirt. Hey, just be a man. Be an example. Be nice. What does it say about a woman? The Bible says, Peter says this, not with gold, nor pearls, nor costly array. Now, what he says, the true influence of a woman is the inner lady of her heart. It's what you are inside. Now, if that's true for the ladies, that's true for the men also. What you are inside. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you looking. You want to look nice, don't you? You want to look presentable because you want to represent your God and represent the body of believers that you're associated with. So you want to look nice. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about these far off things that just grabs everybody's attention. It makes them wonder what in the world's going on inside of this guy. And after all, I think modesty is just practicing a lifestyle, both inward and outwardly, that does not particularly call attention to oneself. Is that what it's all about? Okay, now we're going to have to stop. All right. We want to finish tonight, and I've got five more points. But I do wish all of you fathers a very happy Father's Day, and I do really thank the Lord for the strong families that we have and the strong fathers that we have. Like I said, you don't have to be perfect to be a good dad, but you must try. And I'm still trying harder and harder than ever before. I want all of our fathers to stand again. Would you do that? Stand up, would you, fathers? So let's give them all a big hand. Would you do that? Now, the 10 steps, remain standing, please. The 10 steps that I am giving you, 5 this morning, 5 tonight, will result in or produce a dad that is very grateful or thankful, and also a dad that's a very happy dad. A very happy dad. The Beatitudes, the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew said, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. You know what the word blessed means there? Happy are they. Happy are they that do thirst, hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy, happy, happy. And you know, in your home, you want to have a lot of gratitude flowing between siblings and between members of the family. And you want it to be an atmosphere that's happy. You get so serious about some things where you never even smile. You know, some Christians really think it's almost a sin to lighten up and have fun. It's not a sin to have fun. You know? It's not a sin to smile. Not a sin to pull pranks on each other. This type of thing. Look back at my family and some of the great memories, and now our boys are telling us things that they did. I laugh about them now. It would have been a very serious moment in our household if I would have known back then. We left our boys at home. They were up good size. Left them home just a little bit. My wife and I ran down the road, came back. And would you believe one of our boys got out a knife and threw it at the other one. It went through a hall it went through the wall in the hallway, and they thought they had enough time to patch it up because we've been doing some drywall work, patch it up and paint it. And they said, now Dad won't know. They were just hoping it'd be dry by the time I got in. And sure enough, it was dry. But I don't know, I think God just gives parents this. Roy told me, he said, I knew, Dad, when you got bald, you had eyes in the back of your head. I was surprised you didn't. I walked in the door and I looked up the hallway and I said, who put the hole in the wall? And the boy says, what? I said, who put the hole in the wall? You remember that, Roy? John's the one that did it. They got their BB guns out while we were gone one time. They opened the coat closet and pushed the coats to one side. They were shooting to see who could hit the rod. Then when we drove up, they took and turned the rod and put the coats back. I don't know why, but I walked in, pushed the coats to one side. I never do this. Turned the rod over. What in the world's going on in this house? Now, you're going to have all kinds of violations, you know, if you have kids. And some of these need to be corrected. But the final thing is that you got, if you really want to be spiritual and you want to have a happy home, there's a lot of things you just have to say, so what? You know, it's just life. It just happens. So what? But I want all the dads to be spiritual leaders. I want you to take right now the mother of your children. Or your children. I want you to bring them down to the altar with you. Would you do that? Just bring them on down here. This is not a gimmick just to get everybody at the altar. Just want you to know that I sincerely appreciate you and Calvary Gospel Church appreciates you. This is a very, very special moment. Remaining congregation, would you stand? If you do not have your child or your mother, your child here, why don't you come on down? And then you ladies who are parents, mothers, you can come on down too. We're just going to pray for each other. I said, we're going to pray for each other. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know how the New Testament starts? It starts out with the birth of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, but it talks about the ministry of John the Baptist. You know how the Old Testament stops? The last verse of the Old Testament, where God will not be speaking to the human race for 400 years. This is what it says, and he shall turn the hearts of their fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And that's what John the Baptist was to do, was to bring revival. He said the only way there can be revival in the world is when there's revival in the home. I want you to just bow your heads and pray for each other right now. With a heart of thankfulness and gratitude, thank the Lord for your husband. Thank the Lord for your father. I pray, God, your blessings to come. Rest upon all of our fathers. Strengthen them, O God. Keep your hand upon them, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, may the power of your spirit come and rest in this service. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.